Senate will come to order. Senator St. Francis.
Can we go to the order of business of reports from standing committees?
Reports.
If you recognize me, I have a report.
Reports from standing committees. Please send your report forward. Read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill 900, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 897, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 781, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 768, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 685, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, to which was referred Senate Bill 614, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Engler, Chairman.
Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, can we go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection? The informal calendar, Senate Bill 895, 813, 911, 924, 922, 802, bingo! So,
Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 895, and all, the Senator from St. Charles, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bills 895, 813, 911, 924, 922, and 802 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion by the Senator from St. Charles. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Request a standing division.
The Senator from Cape Girardeau has requested a standing division. Please summons the Senators to the chamber.
Hey, I wish we did these things divisions in the house. We never get to do this.
For that?
Members, please take your seats, preparing for a standing division on whether to bring Senate Bill 895 before the body. The Senator from St. Charles has moved that Senate Bill 895 be brought before the body. All the members of the opinion that shall prevail, please rise. Please be seated. All those of the opinion it shall not, please rise. Well, your vote is 17 ayes, 6 no. Senate Bill 895 and all is before the body. Senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 895, 813, 911, 924, 922, and 802.
The senator from St. Charles has moved for the adoption of Senate Bill 895, or the Senate substitute for Senate Bill 895. Senate committee substitute, I'm sorry, for Senate Bill 895 and all. Senator, would you like to explain your substitute?
No. Mr. President, Missouri's current approach to economic development is the equivalent of bringing a knife to a gunfight. While we've taken strides over the past few years to compete with other states to attract and retain high-tech, high-wage jobs, we're not keeping pace with our neighbors. An announcement by a Missouri-headquartered information technology to expand in Kansas, and another announcement of a solar technology company started in Hazelwood, Missouri, to move to Tennessee are two recent examples that we still have much work to do if we are to grow the number of good-paying, family-supporting jobs available to our hardworking Missourians. Many bills report to have an economic development component. Legislation affecting Missouri's tax structure, employment law, labor rules, and workforce development all purport to improve our business climate, and that may be the case. However, across the country, regardless of how other states handle those other job-creating policies, those states have also added generous incentives to support entrepreneurs, manufacturers, and high-growth companies and the jobs that come with them. Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 895, 813, 911, 924, 922, and 802 will realign Missouri's targeted incentive toolbox to respond to what is happening in the marketplace today. Also, with our budget limitations, with this legislation, we will be able to maximize the return on our state's investments. Now, I would like to inquire of the senators who have pieces of this legislation, and then finally I'll speak about the piece that I have in this legislation. Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the senator from Franklin on the Missouri First program.
The senator from Franklin, would you yield to an inquiry from the senator from St. Charles?
I would be glad to yield to my roommate.
He does. Yes. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
You have Senate Bill 813 was sponsored by you. It includes the, I believe it's the Missouri First program,
Missouri
is
First.
What it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain for me and for the other members the importance of this legislation and its benefits to Missouri?
Well, all it simply does is it takes several tax credit programs, and I'll outline them: the state super TIF, rebuilding communities tax credit, enhanced enterprise zone tax credit, job retention program, new job training program, quality jobs, and it allows the department to use the existing cap that we have for all the programs, and give the companies an additional 2% on every 5 years that they've been located here in Missouri, with a maximum of a maximum of 10% extra. And the definition of Missouri business, the business has to have a physical presence in the state, and you also have to have employees that perform regular job related duties in the state. It's mainly for expansion or relocation into the state, but that's what it does. It uses the existing programs that we have. It doesn't move the caps, but allows the Department of Economic Development to give these companies that want to expand or relocate here an extra 2% of these certain programs.
This is for Missouri businesses.
This
though.
Is for
so
Missouri
really, it
only.
It wouldn't be really a company relocating within the state of Missouri?
They could not do it unless they've already got a physical presence in the state already. If they're a new business coming in, no. It would only give preference to Missouri businesses or industries that are located here now.
So in the event of, let's say, let's use Pfizer as an example. Had they, instead of eliminating jobs in Missouri, decided to close a campus in another location in the country, mm-hmm. and move those jobs to Missouri, it would give them the basic incentive package and then a bump because they're a Missouri, they had a Missouri presence?
Yes. Actually, I've got a tool and die a tool and die manufacturing company in Warren County that's looking and maybe moving to, they're either going to expand in my area or they're moving to Cottonwood Falls, Kansas. And actually, we could use this program for them if this was in existence right now. So there's 100 jobs there now, and they're going to actually bring in some jobs from St. Louis, some from Oklahoma, and some from Kansas. And actually, as I say, we could utilize this. If we had this program up and going now, we could give them that extra incentive right now to the company to keep them here.
So that's a company you heard from since you sponsored the legislation?
Yes.
That's are there other companies that have expressed an interest in this?
I'm not aware, but I know there's a number of companies in the pipeline at Department of Economic Development that could utilize this program. I can assure you everybody of that.
Now, are you at all concerned because we're using within existing cap space and we're giving an additional bump to Missouri companies that will actually negatively affect the state's return on investment, because it'll have make less resources available should there be another opportunity?
I've not heard that argument now. Uh-oh.
Just to remind those, they need to be facing the dais to engage in debate. Please proceed.
Well, he's picky. He's picky about that, isn't he?
I thought I was like 87% turned away from him. About that 3% there, my shoulder was leaning in just a little bit. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
Not really. I mean, I think it was a good idea. The first when we came up with it, we had to figure out exactly what they wanted, and then and I will say our analyst Jason Jamkus over there did a fine job in crafting this legislation and tweaking it and getting it to where we want it to be. And I will tell you, I think it's a good program. And as I say, I could use it right now to entice a company right now. And I know there's a lot of other companies that could use it right now also.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank
Senator,
you, Senator.
Inquiry. Inquire someone not behind me. I'd like to inquire of the Senator from Buchanan.
The Senator from Buchanan, would you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 23rd?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Senator, you filed Senate Bill 911, which authorizes the issuance of tax credits for the Show Me Funds project under the Quality Jobs Act.
Right.
Could you tell me a little more about
well,
the legislation?
Well, one of the things when I first talked to our new Economic Development Director, David Kerr, back in, I believe it was November, actually, visited with him before the governor announced that. Ask him what kind of tools did he think would make a real difference in terms of attracting jobs to the state. And remember, this is a gentleman that came from Kansas. And Kansas, frankly, particularly to those of us on the western side of the state, just kind of held up the model of having some pretty successful economic development tools, whether it's you know, their version of MOSIRA, which is you know, what you're talking about in your bill, their tech fund, STAR bonds, which many believe is a great tool. But he said one of the things that had the most impact was
STAR
the
bonds was used for the racetrack, right?
Well, STAR bonds was actually used for the retail developments around the racetrack. So an example would be Cabela's. It was built with STAR bonds, I think, you know, part of Great Wolf Lodge. I'm not sure if they were actually used in Nebraska Furniture Mart, but a lot of that development around there was done with STAR bonds. And as you know, they paid off so quick, it was the refinancing of STAR bonds is the reason that they're building a soccer stadium over there, along with the other things that are going to the Cerner project. So that was a great tool. But he said the big deal, he thought, was the ability to do upfront financing. It says, in his view of the world of economic development, that was the key tool that while companies in the past were willing to accept a stream of payments over a period of years based on their employment, much like Quality Jobs, the big tool of the future, particularly in the financial environment that we're in right now, was the ability to do upfront financing. And that's the reason we came up with Senate Bill 911, and you and I talked about that, which really gives the department the ability to combine under the build program and Quality Jobs the notion of doing tax credits up front to bring a business in. These have to be businesses that, you know, hit the, what they always call the but-for test. But for this tool, they would not locate here. And that's the idea behind the bill. It's to give us a tool that is relevant to the times that we have and the times we face in economic development today.
And that uses the quality jobs definition that we have, which has been widely supported in the legislature. I mean, we've worked year over year. We've actually expanded that program. It uses cap space under
right.
an existing program.
Yeah, it combines quality jobs. The cap falls under what is the total for quality jobs and build.
I liken it to like a salary cap where you have X amount of resources and it gives the department more flexibility. And in my conversations with Director Kerr, what he talked about would be the importance of very strict contract language with clawback provisions to ensure that, you know, the state does not face any increased risk by offering this upfront.
Yeah, the notion, when you do the upfront financing, is that the clawback provisions, one of the keys would be that the entity would be financially stable enough that the clawbacks were meaningful. In other words, you had to have the ability to actually go back and get the money. The high likelihood that if the company failed, or actually the company would not fail, but if they failed, they were backed by some other securities or just a part of a bigger organization, you could actually go back and get the money. That's one of the provisions in there. The other is that there has to be participation, local participation in these projects. And then, as I said, the notion that it's almost the tool of last resort. You have to assume that you're not going to get this project unless you do use this tool to get it.
I know that other states have this type of tool. You mentioned Kansas. I think Chris Chung, who's with the Missouri Partnership, he spoke at one of our Job Creation 2020 committees, and he talked about that Texas has a similar type of fund. And is Texas a state that has income tax? From the standpoint of that there's no silver bullet here, that we have, and we talk about some of these other policies, and we have states that don't have any income tax that are still putting a lot on the table.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, if just eliminating income tax was the issue, then all economic development would be in states like Florida. Okay, well, Florida's suffering. Tennessee, which is held up as a model, they have a 20% budget gap. So, I mean, I think you go back and what Chris Chung said, that, in fact, I don't remember if it was Chris Chung or it was David Kerr in the testimony for the bill, said there's not one single tool that, as you described, is a silver bullet. I mean, it's a combination of a number of factors, the business climate, the workforce, the economic development tools, the availability of space, if it's green space is what they're looking for. It's just a number of factors, but one of the things that is really troubling for companies right now is the ability to get upfront financing. And that's why this is a valuable tool to them.
I think it's well designed for the reason that it utilizes existing cap space and uses a quality jobs definition, which
right.
means that we're trying to bring jobs or grow jobs in Missouri that are good paying jobs that offer benefits.
Yep. I mean, the criteria is have to offer health insurance, pay at least the average wage in the county that they do business in.
Thank you very much for your input.
Yeah.
Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from the 11th?
The senator from the 11th, would you yield to an inquiry?
I yield happily, Mr. President.
He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. You and I talked a little bit in the committee about this, MOJEF, Missouri Jobs for the Future. I've not been a big fan of giving cities the ability to do super TIF, but I know you're continuing to work on the legislation.
I wouldn't really describe it as a super TIF in probably the final product that hopefully will end up in the sub. Senator, when I spoke to the committee, I use the example in 1913, the best college football team in the country was Army. at West Point Academy. And one day in October, this little-known school from Indiana, a Catholic school, showed up, and they checked the rule book, and they found out that there was no rule against the forward pass. And they showed up in that game against Army, and they beat Army 35-12, and the team was Notre Dame. And from that day forward, every college football team, the week after, started using the forward pass. And we're in a competition that we are losing. Now, all of the discussions we've had about economic development are germane, are proper. We should always be, we should have diligent discussions of how we use taxpayer money. But the reality is, after all those discussions are over, we're left in a competitive marketplace with Kansas, with Iowa, with Nebraska, with states that do this or states that do that, with Pennsylvania, with whatever. Now, when I first came to the legislature, and maybe you and I agree on some of these, maybe we disagree, I was told in 2005 that redoing the workers' comp laws, that redoing tort reform would bring us jobs. I was told all that, and maybe, I don't know if that happened. The best discussion that I heard last year was one in which you talked about the history when you were in the Missouri House and how Modessa and Kansas City and all of that process that took place. And at the end of the day, and I'll get back to 922, at the end of the day, that's where we are right now. All of this discussion of how much money we spend on this and what direction we go should be about what we do. The reality is, the tax credit system, as you know, that you worked on when you were in the House, was left over from the 1990s. And how did that start? That started as a response to Kansas. And they did different things, and they had star bonds, and our response was tax credits. Now, are there disadvantages to tax credits? Absolutely. Should we discuss about how more effectively to use tax credits? Absolutely. That's a discussion we probably should have every year. And I just think that right now we are at a point in which we have to decide which future we go to. And maybe some of our tax credits are left over from the 1990s. They're retro. They should be changed, capped, appropriated, whatever. But at the end of the day, we have to do this, because the senator from Buchanan didn't use this example, but I've heard him say it many times on the floor. If you live in Kansas City, Missouri, and if you live on the western side of the state, there is a famous, I don't know, I've never researched whether it's actually true, that when we go over to Kansas and we see the Kansas Speedway, the story we always heard was that because of actions on this floor, previous to him and I coming here, that's why Kansas got the Speedway. Because one senator, or two, and I don't know, I heard different names and then heard that was wrong, but regardless, somebody stood up on this floor and showed a genuine concern about, well, should we include speedways? Whatever. That's a genuine concern. I mean, we get it with the stadiums. Should taxpayers support the stadiums? That's a genuine discussion to have. But the end result is that Kansas has the speedway. And just, I would ask you, if you're ever on my side of the state, if you haven't been there, go over to the Kansas Speedway and look what they did and look what they created. Now,
I've got family that lives in Topeka. I went to school in Kansas City. I've got lots of friends there.
What you're attempting to do is we've got to talk about the future. And other states have learned the forward pass. And we can sit here and we can continue to run the wishbone offense, and we can continue to do all the running the ball on the ground. But all these other states are using the forward pass. And we've got to wake up to that reality. That doesn't mean we shouldn't discuss all the current tax credits. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't come up with some controls and responsible things of how those are spent or whether they're spent at all. Some of them were created in 1993. Some of them were created in 1996. That world may be gone. And maybe too many of them are being spent on things that maybe in the context of the future we shouldn't be spending that much money on. You and I have had that discussion. It's absolutely correct. It's absolutely proper. We should constantly be talking about that, because we're in a football game here with other states, with other countries. And I just wanted to say that I largely let people talk last year, again, appropriate, and I never really got up much on the economic development bill, but I think one of the best discussions that ever happened was the one where you talked about the history here, and the reality of tax credits is that every party is responsible in the past, whether it's the 2-year-ago past, the 36-month-ago past, or the 24-year past. Both political parties created this tax credit situation. We should reevaluate it. We should look at where Missouri stands. I think we have a tremendous opportunity of getting an economic development director from a very progressive state to look at this and say, where are we in all of this? Where are we in comparison to Kansas, in comparison to Illinois, in comparison to Texas, in comparison to Pennsylvania, in comparison to that? Now, you ask about 922, and I'm bringing us to that. 922 works hand in glove with MOSIRA. It is the ability, right now in current law, as you know, the state of Kansas is once again ahead of us in creating bio-life science corridors. Now, one of the most important dimensions of the Missouri economy, one of our great strengths, one of our great export markets, one of our great success story is agriculture. Our future lay with that and our investment in that and the investment in infrastructure. And science and technology create quality jobs. And the Starner Project in Blue Springs is the one that made the headlines. They partner with the University of Missouri. It's much like the Kansas system to where you create a corridor. Currently, the reason that you need the act is that currently, in current legislation, only individual projects can be recruited. This creates a cluster to where you need to attract a cluster of these businesses. You need to have several of these businesses related. And also, you need to have a partnership with a major higher university. And we have a tremendous asset also in this state, the University of Missouri, Columbia. And let us, I'm just saying, let's teach Missouri the forward path. Kansas is once again ahead of us. Now, we can catch up. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have the genuine discussion about what to do with the rest of the tax credits or the future of those, or if some of them have any future. And I've heard the senator from Cape, and I think that he has made excellent points. And I think I don't agree with everything he said, but all the discussions about caps and appropriations is a very appropriate discussion, because I know that he's right about it takes a dollar from education, it takes a dollar from roads, but I also know in the context of economic development, it takes a dollar away from our future of where we should be going. And I'm not going to stand up on this floor and defend a tax credit that was created in 1996 that for maybe a reason at the time that doesn't exist anymore. Or maybe it doesn't, maybe it should be sunsetted. All of those things are very appropriate discussions. So I think that's where we need to take your bill. And you are a very skilled bill handler, and I know you will do that. But I'm just saying, I do not fear that discussion, and I don't hear any of the worst critics of tax credits, even though the media, I think, largely mistakenly calls them credits of tax credits, in that they're asking genuine taxpayer questions, and I want those questions answered, and I want to say, look, maybe it doesn't make sense for the state to invest all of this money in this sector, but this looks like the future, and we need to build the infrastructure, and if we don't, Kansas and all these other states and Mexico and Canada and India are going to beat us.
I've been saying repeatedly since the middle of last year that tax credit reform is going to be a part of any.
It has to be part of this bill because I'm just saying we should not fear that discussion. It's very appropriate. It's very appropriate in the headlines in the last 2 weeks. And I will just tell you the argument that I've heard on the floor for the last year, it's neither a liberal nor conservative argument. I heard it from liberals in 2005 when Matt Blunt was governor. I heard it on this floor. I made the argument in 2005. I now hear it from conservatives now in this environment. I'm not calling it a liberal or conservative argument. At a certain level, the argument is probably right. And I have no objection to the argument because I think let's not fear that discussion. And I'm very pleased You know that there are elements that you and I have talked about in this bill, but we have to look at the whole tax credit issue in its totality before we just, the problem has been, Senator, and I know you are not going to do this with this bill because we've talked about it. We can't just add three more tax credits to that whole jumble of now almost $600 million annually in our budget. That now is not the time, but we should have that discussion of how effectively that $600 million is being used and how maybe better we can make an investment in our future.
It's fine
to make an investment in historic preservation, but we also need to make an investment in our future.
Well, and I know there are some senators right now who are thinking that they would like to stand up and say it's about time.
Everybody's talked about this in a bipartisan way.
Louder and longer, but
Senator, I just wanted to tell you.
We need to look at the resources that we have and look at the state's return on investment, and we need to be constantly reviewing that. And I'm saying I'm on board and engaged in that this year, and I'm hopeful that we'll come forward with a product at the end of the day that we're all proud of.
Well, let me just, I commend you for bringing this forward in a very difficult environment. I didn't say a lot last year during the economic development discussion. I mean, I tried to work with people and tried to see that the bill advanced. I never, you know, spoke much on the floor, but
I was working on health care last
year.
So
I'm just saying I appreciate
my piece on
that, and I know that you're also in the sentiment that we need to talk about every dollar we're spending and whether we should be spending or not, and that's the appropriate way to go about this. I just think in all of this, we have to create what we want this future to look like. The President Pro Tem of the Senate has set up 2020 committees, and that's an attempt to look in the future of where we want Missouri to be. And I want our economic development bill this year, your bill, to look about where we want to be. We can discuss the past, and I think it would be a waste of time to say this is not a partisan issue. It's way too important to be a partisan issue. By the way, both parties are completely guilty. I mean, but regardless of that, let's have a sober, honest discussion of where we don't want to go and not fear that discussion about where we need to go with the future of tax credits. And so that's why, and you know, this bill is, I think, an important part of that future. And there should be changes to it, and I'm sure there will be changes to it. But I just wanted to tell you, Senator, you and I never talked about this, that I think it's a very appropriate discussion, and I think the best way we're going to get this done is in a bipartisan way, working with the legislature and the governor, because we've all read headlines in the last few days. This discussion has to take place right now.
Okay. Well, Senator, thank you very much for your inquiry. Mr. President, may I inquire of the Senator from the 15th?
Senator from the 15th, would you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 23rd?
I do yield.
He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your part of this legislation with Senate Bill 802. It's a proof of concept. Would you explain?
Sure.
What you're trying to do with this legislation, or what we're trying to do with this legislation?
Sure. One of the things that was interesting as I was listening to the previous inquiry is that we did engage in these 2020 committees in the interim here, and it was an attempt to look forward as to where we want to be on job creation and economic development issues. And one of the things I think that we heard over and over again that was really striking to me, and I think we were in the Kansas City meeting, but that Missouri ranks dead last in the rate of startup companies in the entire country. I mean, that's a real problem. The rate of entrepreneurship, the level that we have in this state is a real problem. And it's not just a problem in 2010, it's a problem moving forward. I think one of the things we look at as economic indicators as far as construction startups, we know that's an indicator. They've already secured the loan and the financing, we know that's an indicator of some economic activity over the next few years. When we know we don't have startup companies in the state, not only is it a problem this year, it's an indicator that we're going to have a problem for a while. And so what this bill is an attempt to do is to invest in small businesses here, startup companies.
This isn't a smokestack chasing bill. This isn't trying to land the...
No, this isn't. You know what's interesting is, yeah, and I was also... This isn't rearranging the chairs, you know, on the deck of the Titanic here. I mean, a lot of what we do is compete from one state to the next. This is trying to foster...
Who can give the biggest incentive package.
Exactly. And we're stealing, and it's a zero-sum game. This is an attempt to have homegrown companies that create good-paying jobs.
I think in many instances, those companies... I mean, they have a connection to the local community that, you know, they started there. It just seems like we have a greater likelihood of keeping that company in Missouri.
Right.
And we have the one that's just kind of, you know, here's what we got. Give me your best shot.
And we have some real opportunities with some of the things that are just happening organically with the sort of the Cortex development in St. Louis. I know in Kansas City there's an extensive effort with the sort of the bio belt, the animal health corridor that's going on. There's a tremendous opportunity. And when that collaboration happens, when you have a cluster of entities that are just down the street or down the hall from one another, like we do in some of our economic development centers of our state, you have a real opportunity. And we're not making a huge investment here. 1.25, it's capped.
1.25
million.
Okay.
And what happens with there's a high end of a $75,000 loan. It's a 1-to-1 match. So at each point of investment, the investor has skin in the game. He's going in. It's a 1-to-1 match. The rate of return here is 2-to-1. It's a 200% rate of return. And our democracy, which is states are supposed to be the laboratories for innovation. If you look to another state that's tried this, Oklahoma, they've had tremendous success. They've had about a half, 50% failure rate, but they've leveraged. And so what that means is that they've leveraged this. They've gotten back what they put in, and they've leveraged other private investment. And I'd also say that, you know, in the general tax credit issue. I mean, the way I view these things is I'm not blindly opposed or supportive to any particular tax credit just because it's called a tax credit. I think at the heart of the matter, what we're really doing is lessening the tax burden for a business. And if we view that as something that we want to support, now we are to some degree picking winners and losers. I get that. And in a perfect world, we wouldn't get in that business at all. I understand that philosophically. But the reality is we don't live in that world. That world doesn't exist. So we can choose to ignore that, or we can try to make Missouri a leader in particular areas. Yeah, and there are also ways that we can across the board affect businesses and make them more competitive, but to ignore the idea that this is happening around us, I think is a little naive. So
this seems, your legislation seems extremely appropriate at this time when you look at what's occurring in the banking and lending environment, where, you know, right now, if the only way you can get, pretty much the only way you can get a loan is if you can show the income stream to meet that debt service.
We were talking about this. This is one of the, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal. This is the lowest rate of lending we've had in our country since 1940. And what that means is that companies or banks are no longer looking at assets. When they would provide a loan, you're in this industry, they're no longer looking at the assets because nobody knows what those are worth. They're looking at cash flow, and nobody has positive cash flow, so the lending's extremely tight.
Well, if you're dealing with a startup business, they've got heavy high-end costs, and then for a lender would be looking at, well, I want to see a couple years worth of financial statements showing this as a good investment and an ongoing concern. But a brand new company doesn't have that type of experience.
And I have a similar mindset to you that I'm all for, in the Center from the 11th, reviewing each and every one of these and getting rid of some of the tax credits that don't serve the purpose that they once were supposed to serve. I think that is a very meaningful discussion. There's been, you know, low-income housing is probably in need of some reform. There are some tax credits we have on the books that are problematic and don't really stimulate economic activity. And as far as I'm concerned, we ought to look at reducing them or getting rid of them altogether. But what this is an attempt to do in our economic a development portfolio is to diversify a little bit and for us to sort of say, you know what, a lot of what we do is for the big boys, but you know what, we ought to be taking a look at and investing in these companies that are starting up that could be the next Anheuser-Busch. You know, that could, we heard this in the committee, a lot of the intellectual ingenuity that took place in our state took place around the turn of the, you know, going from, around 1900 or before. And here we are 100 years later, still the fumes, you know, still riding the fumes in the wake of that activity.
Some of the Fortune 500 companies that are these great companies in the St. Louis metropolitan area or that we recognize as having a great history and started off as a family business. And you bring up Anheuser-Busch, which has since been obviously bought by.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about we need to start looking to small business. We need to start investing in these startups where it's not just a zero-sum game with competition. And this is an opportunity. And so that's why I think it's important. I think it's a good idea, and it works in that continuum of a company from its initial stages to when it can actually grow and again, maybe be that next Anheuser-Busch. So I appreciate your willingness, obviously, to take on this larger issue, but also have this piece in here as well.
Thank you very much for the input.
Thanks.
Mr. President, may I speak on the bill?
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to talk about the MOSIRA piece, and of course, MOSIRA stands for the Missouri Science Innovation and Reinvestment Act. MOSIRA would capture the new growth in state income taxes generated by new employees working within Missouri's designated science and innovation fields. And those funds would be used and focused on creating, attracting, and growing science and innovation companies. We won't be the first, we won't be the 10th state to make this type of investment. Just to name a few companies, or a few states, Ohio has their Third Frontier. They pledged $1.3 billion to this same effort. The state of Maryland pledged $1.1 billion for biosciences over a 20-year period. Massachusetts, at around the same time, stated they were going to invest $1 billion in growing these sectors. And of course, we need to acknowledge the success that Kansas has had with their Kansas Bioscience Authority, and their commitment was $585 million over a 15-year period, and they are ahead of schedule in recapturing that investment. Mr. President, the reason why we have the need for MOSIRA is because we have, as the Senator from the 15th mentioned, the Kauffman Foundation's report showing Missouri to be 49th in new business startups. We have great research occurring in the state of Missouri. We have great research occurring at places like the Danforth Plant Sciences Center, where there are more plant scientists in one place than anywhere in the world. And they're working on science to eliminate hunger. We have a great animal health corridor in Missouri that starts at the University of Missouri and goes westward into Kansas, Kansas City, St. Joseph. We have Washington University, which is one of the leaders in the country in drawing down NIH funding for research. Stowers Institute in Kansas City. This great research is occurring. We have companies like a company, Dyna Labs, that was recently featured in the Kansas City Business Journal. We have Innova Prep, which is in the Senator from Johnson, from his district. We have these great small companies, but the research to commercialization and products and new health technologies just isn't there in the state of Missouri. And because of the investment that other states are making, these entrepreneurs, these new ideas, new services, new products are going to other states, and the jobs are going with them. And MOSIRA would help by fostering growth of new jobs and industries in Missouri. We would use these resources to promote the relocation of companies in Missouri, to transform discoveries into new Missouri-based companies, to ensure that adequate private financing, including venture capital, is available for emerging companies, to address the infrastructure needs of science-based companies, including incubators, lab space, research park, and district development, This provides a very flexible tool in which, as the legislation has been crafted, will go through the appropriations process so that it will have legislative oversight, and it will help Missouri, where, as I mentioned in my opening comments, where we are losing out on lucrative projects, it will help us keep these companies and keep these jobs in Missouri. Mr. President, I am working, as I visit with senators, on refinements to the legislation. I know that the senator from the 11th has changes to his part of the legislation. I'm working on a substitute to incorporate more thoughts from senators that I've visited with. We encourage to have discussion about other types of incentives which may be beneficial to the state of Missouri. I do not have the Senate substitute ready today. I'm thankful that spring break is coming early and we'll have plenty of time to work on this after spring break. But at this time, Mr. President, I would like to place the bill on the informal calendar.
The bill shall be placed on the informal calendar.
Thank you.
Senator from St. Francis.
President, staying on that informal calendar, can we go to Senate Bill 852?
Senate Bill 852, the senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 852 be brought before the body.
You have heard the motion by the senator from Andrew. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Andrew.
We have a point of order pending.
Senator from the 11th.
Order pending. I would like to withdraw that point of order.
The point of order shall be withdrawn.
Mr. President.
Senator from Andrew.
I have a Senate substitute for Senate Bill 852. I'd like to send it forward.
Please send for your Senate, send forward your Senate substitute. Has it been distributed?
I believe it has, yes.
Are you asking for a waiver of the reading?
I am.
It shall be granted.
I move for the adoption of the Senate substitute. This fixes the title problem that the point of order was raised on, and I believe puts us in a spot where we will be able to begin debating this whenever we get back. And so with that, Mr. President, I would ask the bill be placed on the informal calendar.
That bill shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate go to the order of business announcements. If you'll recognize me for announcement.
Announcements. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody's work this week. We've had a really great week, and tomorrow we get to third read about 11 bills. We also get the opportunity to approve the governor's appointments, and I think there's one other minor thing on there. I don't remember what it is, but that minor thing. That's what we're doing tomorrow, and then we're getting out of Dodge. Okay? We've cleared the formal calendar, which is very, very rare for this time of year. So I appreciate your work this week. I appreciate I'll make the mention this time right now of the hardworking people, the staff, both out here at the well and back behind. They're all sitting ready to do the. Let's thank them, if you would join with me before we go on spring break, for their work.
Further announcements. Senator from Buchanan.
I would like to send forward a revised hearing schedule. This reflects the hearings now that will be going to two-a-day sessions. It asks it to be printed in the journal.
Please send it forward, and it shall be printed in the journal.
And, Mr. President, would you refer perfected Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 781 to the Government Accountability and Fiscal Oversight Committee?
It shall be referred. Further announcements. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You have heard the motion put forth by the Senator from St. Francis. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye. All those opposed, please say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We will stand adjourned under the rules.